Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Kaf Amud Aleph, Mativ Rav Elshaya. Rav Elshaya posed the following question based on our Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, Rabbi Shimon Umrim, Lo Nechluku Adavar Shuhu Mishem Echad, Shu Chayav. Rabbi Lez and Rabbi Yeshua don't disagree with regards to having something that is Shem Echad, meaning the same item. There you're Chayav. El Ama Nechluku. Where is their machloket? Al davar shu mishum shnei shemot. When there is a change in the object, meaning that your intended outcome is the same, but the object upon which you're doing it is different. Because there in the Mishnah they say, Shirv lezer mechayev chatat. In that case, Rabbi Yeshua poter. Now, the Gemara continues and says, okay, if that's the view of Rabbi Shimon Mizuri and Rabbi Shimon, v'Rav Yehuda maikamar. Immediately afterwards, we have Rabbi Yehuda saying something, and he says, "Depligei benizkavin lelkot anavim velakateinim." The case where he intended to pick grapes, and instead he collected figs. He picked figs. Shkorot. He intended for the black ones, velikei livanot, and instead he got the white ones. Anavim uteinim shkorot livanot. That situation where you have anavim, and instead you got teinim. Or you're looking for shkorot and you got levanot, my new. What's that called? Shnei shemot. Hainu, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. Then how is Rabbi Yehuda differentiated from Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shizuri? So the two Rabbi Shimons say that the machloket doesn't exist b'shem echad. It only exists b'shnei shemot. B'shem echad, everybody thinks you're chayav. B'shnei shemot, that's where the machloket Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Along comes Rabbi Yehuda and says, well, they only argue with regards to if you intended four grapes and got figs, if you intended for black and got white, then it's the same as saying that they only argue by Shnei Shemot. So then what Rabbi Yehuda say that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Zuri did not say? So Rabbi Yehuda, my Ayta Lishminan. So then what's Rabbi Yehuda coming to teach us if he's saying the exact same thing that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Zuri are saying? El Alav mitasek ika benayu. Must be that mitasek is the difference between them. The Rabbi Yehuda Savar, mitasek chayav. Rabbi Yehuda thinks that mitasek is chayav. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, Savari mitasek is patur. So now, just going back, this is based on what we saw at the end of yesterday's daf in Shmuel's explanation for the Mishnah. In order for Shmuel's position not to be upended by the Mishnah, Shmuel had to explain the Mishnah in an unusual case, which is that Shmuel says that if you have any change in the outcome of that which you are looking for, then you're not chayav, because that's classified as a type of mitasek. It's uniquely associated with Shabbat, but it's a type of mitasek that makes you patur. The problem that we had was that in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, which we just quoted, seems to indicate that when items are of Shnei Shemot, then you are patur. But if they were Shem Echad, if they were one item, meaning that you intended to pick figs, and you picked figs, then you would be chayav. According to Shmuel, that should not be true, because if you intended for this tree, and you picked from a different tree, that's not melechet machshevet. Your intent was not carried out. Your intent's not carried out. You should be patur, according to Shmuel. So Shmuel was challenged by that position of Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel's answer to that, when Rabbi Yehuda's Talmud challenged him with that, was to say, the Mishnah is this unique case of shachach bilibo, that he forgot about what his intentions were. Meaning that he had original intent, let's say, to pick figs. But he forgot that he wanted to pick figs. And then he goes ahead and he says, you know what, I must have said I wanted to pick grapes, and he goes out to pick grapes. But instead of picking grapes, he ends up picking figs. In the end, he ends up picking figs, and that was his original intent. That's what he wanted originally. So he ends up fulfilling his original machshava of collecting figs. The only problem is the action that he took, the particular action was to pick grapes, and instead he picked figs. So here you have two different pieces to the puzzle, and that's how Shmuel solved the problem. There's one issue, which is your broader intent. You want to collect figs. In the end, you collected figs. You got that right. And therefore, there's no doer of mitasek in that case. That is the case of Mechet Machshevet Asrat Torah. And there Shmuel says, it's irrelevant whether it was Mishnei Shemot or Shem Echad, if it's one item or two items. If you, for whatever reason, don't get that intent right, you are patur. That's not what Rabbi Yehuda is addressing. Rabbi Yehuda is not talking about that. In that case, then you would have a ptur, when it was Shnei Minim, whether it was Minachat, you'd have a ptur if anything changed in that area. But that's not the case in the Mishnah, because we just said, in the case of the Mishnah, he originally intended for figs. He forgot about that, tried to pick something else, but ended up with the figs that he wanted anyway. So over there, your intent is carried out. There's a secondary ptur, and this is where Rabbi Yehuda was speaking, and that's what Shmuel claimed, which is that when you go to do an action, that particular action must fulfill your intent, which is that here you went to pick grapes, and instead you picked figs. In that case, you did not carry out the maisa, the action that you wanted to take out. That's your classic type of mitasek that you're going to be put to work for. That's where you learn it out, asher chataba, that you have to do the item that you intended to do. But here it's not intent in the broader sense of intent. Intent here means the particular action that has to match with the action that you intended for. So over there, Rabbi Yehuda says you're patur because your action did not turn out the action that you wanted. At least according to Rabbi Yeshua. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you're going to be chayav in that case. That's where Shmuel says we have the qualification. That's only true, mishnei shemot. That's only true if you have different items. You intended for grapes and you ended up with figs. But if you intended for figs from this tree and you picked figs from another tree, that is considered to be a maisa that is in completing your intent as far as the action is concerned. Not your broader intent, but your particular intent for this action that you're going to take. If you pick figs from this tree, you pick figs from that tree, that's picking figs. And if you're picking figs, your maisa worked out, and then your chayav. That's where, Rabbi Yehuda, this distinction of mishnei minim, there is a machloket, mishnei mechad, there is no machloket. And that is seemingly what Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Zuzuri are saying as well, which is that only by Shnei Shemot is there a machloket between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua says you patur, Rabbi Eliezer says you're chayab. But by Shem Echad, everybody says you're chayab. So again, it's in that category of where your action is not the exact action that you intended for. That's where we distinguish between Shem Echad and Shnei Shemot. But Shmuel said, when you're dealing with the big picture, when you're saying, I wanted to pick figs, and you ended up with figs, it doesn't matter whether it's Shem Echad or Shnei Shemot. If you didn't get what you intended for, the exact intent that you had, there that's a failure in Melechet Machshevet. Along comes the Gemara and says, okay, now you have Rav Shimon and Rav Shimon Shazuri and Rav Yehuda saying all the same thing. Rav says, no. Midasek is the difference between them. The Bali at Tosafot and the Shita Mekubetzet both address the fact as to why the Gemara picked Rav Yehuda be the one who says Midasek is Chayav. And why Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shazuri are the ones that say Mitasek is Patur, and they garner it from the language that is used here. For Mashma Lishna the Rabbi Yehuda, Afilu b'mitkavein l'kota te'inim, v'lakata navim, v'lo Mashma kulihai da'ari davad melaket b'libo. The way that the Shiritu Mekubetzet says it is, the language of Rabbi Yehuda lends itself more to be speaking about Mitasek than to be speaking about milaket bilibo. That's the way he says it. Tosafot says, the hachi mashma lishno de matnitin de Rabbi Yehuda mechayiv tve. Because Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Zuzuri use the language of lo nechlerku ella. And then Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, afilu, which seems to indicate that he's trying to say that the qualification that was placed by Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Zuzuri is not limited to what they say, but afilu, even in these scenarios, there is an additional machloket. But it thinks, again, that the language pushes you in this direction. That means that what is being said now is that according to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, it's exactly how we described it in Shmuel's explanation. So we saw that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shazuri say that the situation or the case that we're discussing over here is Vav Melakei Milibo, he forgot exactly what he was going to take. In that scenario, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shazuri say, we differentiate between Shnei Minim and Minechat. The implications are that when it comes to the broader question of Mitasek, there they make no distinction between Minechat and Shnei Minim. They think it's always Patur. That is similar to Shmuel's din, which is that anytime there's a change, everybody there is going to believe that you are Patur. Along comes Rabbi Yehuda and says, even by that case, that where he's coming for one thing and ends up with another thing, that Abi Mita'asek, and Rabbi Eliezer is going to be Chayev, and Rabbi Yeshua is only Poter, by Shnei Shemot. So what we're saying is that the way that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Zuri set up the machloket, it's in the narrower scope or the narrower issue of the maisa, that little action. When you intended for grapes and you ended up with figs, so that action which gets a tour of mitase, that tour is subject to this question of whether it's Shnei Shemot or Shem Echad. On the other hand, when it comes to the bigger picture question, like Shmuel's question, there we said we were indifferent as to whether it was Shem Echad or Shnei Shemot. As long as you deviated from whatever it was, then Divrei HaKol, it is patur. Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says that's not the case. That even by that bigger picture question about whether you intended originally for figs and ended up with figs, there you said that you needed to have your intent carried out. And whether it was this tree and that tree that made you patur, or if it was grapes and figs that made you patur, that's not true. Over there, if it was figs from this tree and figs from that tree, everybody thinks you're chayav. That's mit'asek, you are chayav. Because there you're engaged in isur. You intended to pick figs, and you ended up picking figs from a different tree. That's not called the mit'asek that you're patur from, and there you'd be chayav. Then, their machloket, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua's machloket there persists and says that in that case, if it was Shem Echad, everybody agrees chayav. Shnei Shemot, then Rabbi Eliezer still says you're chayav, Rabbi Yeshua says you are patur. So there, in the case where you intended originally for figs, and you ended up picking grapes in the end, there, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yeshua will say you're patur, but Rabbi Eliezer will still say you're chayav. Now that presents a problem for Shmuel, because Shmuel's din was that whenever you have Melechet Machshevet, Asra Torah, and you fail at Melechet Machshevet, you should have been patur. By doing this, or setting up the machloket this way, we're now pushing it back, that Rabbi Yehuda, once again, becomes a problem for Shmuel. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't matter if it's the smaller issue of the maisa, the actual action that you took, or the bigger picture intent, he says that if it was the minechad, you are chayav according to everyone. In both of those scenarios, that means even in the case where you failed to do what your intent was, you're still going to be chayav, and that's against Shmuel's position of lechet machshevet asra Torah. So the Gemara says, so then in order to solve that problem, lo, mitasek divrei HaKol patur. Went back to our original thinking, that in the big picture intent, if you fail in any way to carry out your intent, that means whether it is that you intended for figs and ended up with grapes, you intended for figs from this tree or ended up figs from another tree, everybody agrees you're a patur. This is their machloket. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Savar, Shachach Melekat Libo, B'Shem Echad, Divrei HaKol Chayav. That when it's one item, everybody agrees it's Chayav. Kipligei, where they argue is B'Shnei Shemot, is exactly the way that Shmuel set up Rabbi Yehuda on the previous Amud, which was in the case where your original intent was for figs. In the back end, you end up with figs. So Melechet Machshevet, we've covered, check, nothing to do with that. The question is, when you went to pick the figs, you thought you were going to pick grapes, because that's what you thought you had wanted, and by accident you ended up with figs, which was your original intent. Over there you have a failure in your maaseh, because your action was intended for grapes, and you end up with figs. There we said that if your intent was for grapes, and you end up with figs, there you're patur, according to Rabbi Yehoshua, chayav, according to Rabbi Eliezer. But in a case where you had intended for figs from this tree, ended up with figs from the other tree, which actually fulfilled your original intent for figs from that tree, then that's not a failure according to everyone, and you're chayav, both according to Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Then, Rabbi Yehuda Savar, lo shna b'shem echad, lo shna b'shem shemot, plige. Rabbi Yehuda says that even in the case of shem echad, they still argue. Meaning that in that smaller question as to your particular action, did you fulfill the intent of your action? There, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer argue whether it's you intended for figs from this tree and picked figs from the other tree, or whether you intended to pick grapes and you ended up picking figs. They argue in both of those cases, whether it's Shnei Shemot or whether it is Shem Echad. They argue, and Rabbi Yeshua says you're patur, Rabbi Eliezer says you are chayav. So basically takes Shmuel's explanation that we gave for Rabbi Yehuda in the end of yesterday's daf, and says that's what Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shanzuri are saying. And then Rabbi Yehuda is saying even one step above that, that even in the case where, in that smaller question of whether your action in particular was fulfilled, that question also has a machloket, whether it's Shnei Shemot or Shem Echad. Yesterday we concluded that that was only true by Shnei Shemot. If you intended to pick grapes and ended up picking figs, then Rabbi Yeshua says you're patur. But if you intended to pick figs from this tree and end up picking figs from the other tree, as far as your maisa is concerned, you did a maisa of picking figs, and we said that would be chayav even going to Rabbi Yeshua. Here, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, no, that's not the case. But rather, even b'shem echad, even if you intended for figs from this tree and picked figs from the other tree, that's a failure in the maisa. How do we know that from Rabbi Yehuda's words? That's because Rabbi Yehuda used two examples in the Mishnah. He said, ananavim and te'inim, grapes and figs, which are clearly different items. But then he said, levanot and shkorot, white and black. So what we're saying now, and Rashi notes this chiddush, besvirle deshkorot ulevanot shem echadei, that white and black figs, until this point in time, we've assumed they're the equivalent of grapes and figs. They're two different items. Now what we're saying is, white and black figs are the same thing. Shem echad. And even though it's shem echad, Rabbi Yehuda says, there's a machloka between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. So that's how we're going to explain it. Turns out to be very interesting because in the Hava Mina over here, we said that Rabbi Yehuda was the Chumrah. We said, oh, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shazuri say Mitasek is Patur. Rabbi Yehuda is coming along to say, no, Mitasek is Chayav. Then we say, no. Everybody thinks Mitasek is Patur. That's the big picture question. What was your original intent and did you end up with the original intent? That's the question of Melechet Makshevet Asrat Torah. Then now we say, no, the machloket is not about that. It's about the smaller question as in your particular action that you're about to take. Did you fulfill it or not? Now we're saying Rabbi Shimon Shizuri of the Chumrah, they say it only applies by Shnei Shemot, doesn't apply by Shem Echad, the way that Shmuel explained Rabbi Yehuda yesterday. And now we're saying Rabbi Yehuda says that it's a machloket, whether it's Shem Echad or Shnei Shemot over there. And now Rabbi Yehuda is the Kula. So it's interesting that we're switching from Rabbi Yehuda being the Chumrah to Rabbi Yehuda being the Kula. But now we have an explanation of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, and Rabbi Yehuda, all of which conform to Shmuel's position that Melechet Makshevet Asrat Torah is a patur. That means according to everyone, you need to get your original intent fulfilled. So whatever you thought originally that you wanted to pick, that's what you need to end up in the back end. If you don't end up with that in the back end, then you are a patur. That's whether you intended for grapes and ended up with figs, or intended for figs from this tree and ended up with figs from that tree, that's a failure. According to everyone, and you are a patur. That's mitasek, that's melechet makshevet asrat Torah. The only question now revolves around the smaller thing, which is when you forgot what your original intent was, and then you thought you wanted something else. So you thought you wanted grapes, and then by accident you picked figs. So now your original intent was fulfilled, but you have a failure in your maaseh. That's now where we have a question. According to Rabbi Shimon of Shimazuri, that failure only exists if you have Shnei Shemot, if there were two different items. And according to Rabbi Shua, you're Potur, Rabbi Lezer, you are Chayav. If it's one item, it was figs from this tree, and you picked figs from that tree, and you picked figs, that's a maisa, that's problematic. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the machloket exists both scenarios. If you intended to pick grapes and pick figs, which was your original intent, that's Potur, according to Rabbi Shua. And if you intended to pick figs from this tree and picked from a different tree, that still is Potur, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even though you fulfilled your original intent to have the figs from this particular tree get picked, which you did in the end, but because there was a failure in your maisa, you still patur. So that's the way that we're going to now have it that Shmuel's din applies, because everybody agrees that when you have a failure in the original intent and the outcome, there you are patur. Rav Amar likadem ika benayu. The way that Rashi understands is that Rav is trying to come also explain the Mishnah and still be supportive of Shmuel. And that is that the machloket here between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Zuri and Rabbi Yehuda is about ordering. Does ordering matter? If you have intent to do one malacha, then another malacha, and it turns out you do it in the opposite direction, is that a failure in intent? And therefore you're considered a mitasek in your patur, or it's a failure in melachat machshevet, or does it not matter? So according to Rava's explanation over here, everyone agrees by mitasek, where you intended for one item and ended up with another item, you're going to be patur. That's Rabbi Yeshua. That's Rabbi Eliezer. That's whether it's one min, whether it's two minim. Basically, Shmuel's din of Melechet Makshevet Asrat Torah applies to everyone. And the machloki between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer is not about that case of mitasek, but rather about a case of hakdama. Is hakdama seen to be a issue of mitasek or not an issue of mitasek? Rabbi Yeshua says it is mitasek, and therefore you're patur. Rabbi Lezer says you are chayav. Now the machlok between Rabbi Shimon and Zuri and Rabbi Yehuda is, how far or where is the application of this Hakdama issue. According to Rabbi Shimon Chazuri, it only has application by Shnei Shemot. It doesn't have application by Shem Echad. And that is Rabbi Shimon Chazuri say that even in a case where it's the same halacha, as long as it's two minim, when you intended to pick figs and then grapes, and the order was the other way around, you picked the grapes and then the figs. You went to pick white figs and then black figs, and you picked black and then white, is there an issue of order? But if it's by Shem Echad, intended for figs from this tree and picked figs from the other tree, order doesn't matter, even according to Rabbi Yeshua. And along comes Rabbi Yehuda to say that Shnei Shemot, Shem Echad, order, according to Rabbi Yeshua, matters. Whether it's intended to pick grapes and you ended up picking figs, or whether you intended for figs from this tree and picked figs from the other tree, Rabbi Yeshua says you're patur, Rabbi Eliezer says you are chayav. They argue in both of those cases, whether it's Shnei Shemot, or whether it is Shem Echad. Even there, Rabbi Yeshua is going to be poter, because he thinks that's mitasek when you get it out of the order that you intended. And therefore, you are patur. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it doesn't matter, and you are chayav, because he thinks that's not mitasek. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua thinks it is a case of mitasek. And that's the machlok between them as to whether one shame, meaning intended for figs from this tree and picked figs from the other tree, is there this issue of order? And according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yeshua still thinks that that's called mitasek when you flipped around the order, even though it's one shame. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Zuri say that's only true when you have two minim, then order matters. In a single shame, and there was an order, and you changed that order, even there, Rabbi Yeshua agrees that that's not called mitasek, because it's the same shame, and therefore you can't say your hakpada has impact on the issue of mitasek. Batanya. Now, Batanya is v'nichuta, it's supportive of Rabbi's contention. Ayulafanav, shtei neirot tokot. He has in front of him two neirot that are lit. V'nitkaven, l'chabot etzo, v'chiba etzo. Intended to extinguish one, and instead extinguish the other. Vadik etzo, vedik etzo. Or he intended to light one of them, and instead he lit the other one. Patur. In that case, you are patur, because you failed in terms of mechet makshevet asrat Torah. Your intent was never carried out. You wanted A extinguished, you extinguished B. You wanted A lit, you lit B instead. That's a failure of mechet makshevet. You are patur. Although there is a alternate girsa. It's brighta, and you can see that in Otet of the Shiti Mikubetzet, where he says that Yesh Sparim Yishanim, older Sparim, where we have Patur, and that's Rashi's Girsa over here, is Patur, and Tosafot seems to agree with that. But the Rosh brings a Girsa that it was Chayav in that first case. So you can see in the Shiti Mikubetzet, there is this alternate Girsa of Chayav in that first part of the Braita, and that's the way that the Rabbeinu Gershom reads it, as well as the Raivad in his Hasagot and the Rambam, and they believe that the first case here is also a case of order. But the reason you're chayav in the first case is because the order involves the same halacha. And since it's the same halacha, we really consider you to be indifferent, even though you claimed that you wanted one before the other. Since it's the same halacha, order doesn't matter according to everyone, and therefore you are chayav. And there's no tour of mitaseg. So the Rambam seems to also have the girsa of chayav, but comes to a different conclusion, which is he reads it like Rashi, which is that it's speaking about a classic case of mitaseg. But over there, you're mitasek, you're chayab, because in the end, you did the malacha that you had intended to do, even though it turned out to be on a different candle. Nevertheless, it's considered to be a malacha that you're going to be chayab for. That's part of why the Raivad is mesig on the Rambam, because that isn't that a classic case of melechet machshevet, asra Torah, and if you picked figs from one tree and instead got them from the other tree, we said you're patur, then why should that be any different here when you light one candle instead of the other candle, or you extinguish one candle instead of another candle? Although that would work well, according to Rava the Shitato, who disagrees with Shmuel. Shmuel says that Melechet Shevet Asrat Torah means that even from Isur to Isur, there is a Torah Mitasek, whereas Rava and Abaye clearly believe that there's only a Torah Mitasek if you went from Heter to Isur. And therefore, in this first section of the Braita, according to the way the Rambam's learning it, then, because you did halakha, which was Isur, and even though you did halakha on a different nair, that's still Isur to Isur, and a Rava l'shitato, that's not a tour of mitasek. And therefore it works out, and that's how some explain the Rambam's psak here, that he passed him like Rava, neged Ravashi, and he passed him like Rava all the way through, that mitasek is only considered to be mitasek when you go from Heter to Isur, not in cases of Isur the Isur. And therefore, the Raivan comes up with his explanation, where he has the same Girsa of Chayav, but he says the reason that over here you're Chayav is not because of Mitasek, it's because of the fact that it's about order here, and order doesn't matter when you're doing one Malacha. Then, Lahadlik Ulechabot. If he intended to light candle A, and to extinguish candle B, Vikiba Vahadlik, and he did it the other way around. He extinguished B first, and then lit A. Binishima Achat, he did it all in one breath. Chayav, then he is Chayav. Bishtenishimot, if he does it in two breaths, then he is Patur. So now, Gemara says, Pshita, that's pretty straightforward. Seems to make sense. Ma'udetema, what would I have thought is, Lo'it Avdeid Machshavate, even when he did it in Shima Achat, his intent was not carried out. Da'lahadlik mi'ikara bayi, ulusof lechabot. Because his intent was to first light and then to extinguish. V'chi avad maseh, when he actually carried it out, kiba ulusof idliku. It turns out that he extinguished first and lit it. Vema patur. You would have thought maybe you should be patur. Kamash v'lan. The kamash v'lan is, dehi nidak dume lo maktim, achure lo macher. He didn't do one before the other, but he also didn't do one after the other. So now the explanation here, which is supportive of Rava's contention over here in the Braita, or this understanding that order matters. And therefore the machloket between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Sezuri and Rabbi Yehuda is as to whether order matters on Vishnei Shemot, or does it even matter by Shem Echad? So the way that the Braita explains it is, I had intent to do something in a certain order. And over here, the order has to do with two different melachot. One is kibui, one is hadlaka. So that's why the Raivan differentiates between when you have two of the same melacha versus two of different melachot. That's because his girsa is chayav in the first case as well as in the second case. Now, we also are saying that you have intent to do one for the other. So here, if you go ahead and exercise your intent and you carry it out, but you did it in one breath, for whatever reason, you blew out the candle, and blowing out that candle caused the other one to ignite, because you were bellowing, in that sense, the other candle, and that caused the other one to light. So if in your one breath, you're able to extinguish one and light the other, in essence, you did it without any order, because you did it all in one action. Now, the Gemara says, maybe even there you would think there's a problem, because the actions are sequential, even though it was done in one breath, one action, they still happen in a sequential order. That's what we're going to tell you. That doesn't matter, because, yes, you didn't do what you thought to do the hadlaka first and then the kibui afterwards, but you also didn't do the extinguishing before you did the hadlaka. There really is no order here because it all happened in one shot. That means that the order is no longer a relevant factor. When you do it in two neshimot, when you do it in two breaths, over there, now you have a difference in the order that you intended for. You had intended to light, extinguish. Instead, you first extinguished and then lit. So you did two separate melachot in two separate actions. That makes it that the order matters and your intent was not carried out, and therefore you are patur. Well, that's why the bright that's supportive of Rava's contention that order matters, and order is a tur, and it's a failure in melechet machshevet. And then that will be the explanation of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Zuri. Say that if it's Shem Echad, then everybody says you're Chayav, because it doesn't matter in terms of order when it's Shem Echad. Where they argue is B'Shnei Shemot. There, Rabbi Eliezer is Mechayev. You intended for both, even though you did it in a different order. That doesn't bother us. Rabbi Yeshua says that you are Patur, because at the point of each item, you did it in a different order. And Rabbi Yehuda says, even in Shem Echad, they still argue about this. And then Rashi, the Shitato, says that the next line in the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Tamihani, I am surprised or shocked. Why would you be poter in this case? Because in the end, he intended for both of them. But that means that v'mitasek v'alma, mitasek in general, there is no machloket, and everybody believes that you are patur, which is that if anything changed in your original intent to your outcome, then everybody agrees you're patur. Over here, your intent is carried out in the end. There's no failure in your intent. The failure is only in the order of your intent, not in the actual outcome that you were looking for. And then again, that would be supportive of Shmuel, who believes that anytime Melechet Machshevet fails, then you have a patur. That means as far as totzaot, outcomes are concerned, if in any way your outcome is different than your intent, you're going to be patur. You intended to blow one out and you blew the other one out, everybody's going to agree you are patur. That's like the resha of the braita, at least according to the girsa that we have, that it's patur. The case where they argue is in the order of your intention. Does that have meaning over here? Does that considered to be a failure in Melechet Mashevet? Or is it not considered to be a failure in Melechet Mashevet? So first of all, we have Machloket, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Lezer says you're Chayav, Rabbi Yeshua says you're Patur. I mean, Rabbi Lezer thinks it doesn't matter. Rabbi Yeshua says it does matter. And Rabbi Shimon Shuzari said that Rabbi Yeshua says it only matters when you're dealing with Shnei Shemot, two Minim, not when you're dealing with one shame. Rabbi Yehuda comes along to say that even in one shame, it matters. Order matters according to Rabbi Yeshua, and you'd be Patur. And Rabbi Yehuda himself says about that, I'm shocked that Rabbi Yeshua would think that that's meaningful or that should be patur. Or the way that we have the girsa, that Rabbi Shimon is questioning Rabbi Yehuda's statement that by Shem Echad, by one type of item, that order should have any impact or any bearing. Tan Rabbanan. So now we move on to a variation of this, which is Achuteki Chalim B'Shabbat. Someone who stokes the coals on Shabbat. The way that Rashi indicates is that Chote is not just stoking the coals, it's where you take the pan, which is the Machteh, you scoop up coals from inside or below, and you move those coals to the upper part of the coal pile. Chayav Chatat, in that case you are Chayav Chatat. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tzadok, Chayav Shtayim. You're Chayav for two things. Ibn Eishu Michabeta, you'll note, because the upper ones are now going to become the lower coals, and that's going to cause them to be diminished in their oxygen flow, so they're going to extinguish. Umavir et atachtonot. And by exposing the lower ones, you now give them more fuel or oxygen, and you're causing them to now ignite or to burn. B'mayeskinan. What exactly is the scenario? Ika mikavin lechabot ulaavir. If he intended to extinguish the upper ones and light the lower ones, my time is the patar. Then what does the Tanakama say that you are patur? It doesn't make any sense. You intended for both items. Both items are carried out. You should be chayav chatat. Ella, the low come kavin lavir. Oh, if you didn't intend to light the lower ones, but just to extinguish the upper ones, my time is demanded mechayev. Tarte. Then what's the reasoning behind Rishim and Elazar, the name of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok's position that you're chayav two chatot? You didn't intend to do both of them. So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Chanina, Damre Tarvayu, they both suggested, kagon, shenit kavin lechabot el yonot. He intended to extinguish the upper ones. Kedei lavir et atachtonot, knowing full well that that would ignite the lower ones. The Tanakama sabar. The Tanakama believes mekalkel b'havara patur. When you have kilkul in havara, that's patur. Blessed Rabbi Tzadok Amar chayav. You are chayav. So now we know that havara is a destructive force. It's something that consumes whatever item is lit. And the question is, when you're mikalkel behavara, if you do something that is a negative by havara, does that still make you chayav? Do we say that since the whole melacha is a quote-unquote destructive melacha, because fire consumes, burns things up, then even when you do havara in a sense of kilkul, in a negative manner, you're going to still be chayav, because that's part and parcel of the melacha, is that it always is mikalkel. And therefore, there's no distinguishment that we have by other melachot, which is where only when you do it in a constructive manner are you chayav, and in a destructive manner you are not chayav. There are two exceptions that are brought in the Gemara and Shabbat, in the position of Rabbi Shimon, and that is, by Chovel and Mavir, there we do not have a demand that it be constructive. There, even though it's destructive, that is the melacha. And Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion over there, that even though every elder mikalkel is patur on Shabbat, Chovel Mavir, when you're mekalkel, is still chayav. Because the whole melacha is a melacha of kilkul, and therefore even if you do it in a manner that is mekalkel that you don't want, it's still going to be chayav. So your question is, why do we have kilkul over here? Because, v'chein amar Rabbi Yochanan, that's because Rabbi Yochanan explains it the same way that we explained it here, which is, v'chein amar Rabbi Yochanan benapach shanu. We're dealing with a blacksmith. Now, Tosfot on the next Talmud says maybe it's not a blacksmith, it's a coal maker. The one who makes the coals out in the forest, and he calls them a carbonier, obviously from the word carbon, but he's someone who makes coals, not necessarily a blacksmith, but again, it's of the same idea that the blacksmith also is making the coals because he wants to utilize the coals later on A blacksmith has an interest in coals. He needs the coals because he needs to get the fire to be super hot in order to work with the metal that he's working with. So his intent over here is to create coals that are valuable to him in his work as a steelmaker, as a blacksmith. The way that he does that is to get the large coals to extinguish while they're still large coals. You create those coals by burning wood. By burning the wood, you dehydrate the wood, and then they blacken and become charcoal. If you extinguish it at that point, those coals turn out to be better fuel than wood itself. Wood itself will reach only a certain temperature. If you use coals from wood, those coals will reach temperatures almost double the heat of a regular burning of wood. So the napach over here has a serious interest in creating coals, not in burning things up. So now he has here a bunch of large coals, big coals on top that are burning now. You want to extinguish them because that's his value that he needs out of this pile of coals, is to have big coals that remain coals and do not get consumed now. And so he wants them extinguished. So he flips the pile over by putting the big ones on top underneath to extinguish them. That's why according to the Tanna Kamma, you're chayav. You did kibui, and that was what you wanted, kibui. So you're chayav for that. Beloza Rebbe Tzadok agrees that you did kibui, and that was your intent, and you're chayav for that. But while you did that, you knew that the coals on the bottom would then rise to the top. And when they rise to the top, they're going to burn. And now, since they're going to burn, you are doing havara. Now this havara for you is not meaningful because the way Rashi says it over here, you have no interest in burnt up items. You have interest in coals. And now when you put them on top and they burn up, you're losing coal or you're losing fuel that could help you in the future. And therefore you have no interest in that. When the coals that you take on top and put them on the bottom extinguish, that's exactly what you want. And that is a positive action for you because you want them extinguished because those coals will serve you in the future. That's doing exactly what you want, carrying out your maaseh in a positive form. That's a chiyuv chatat. That's what the Tanna Kamma says, and Rebbe Tzadok agrees. In doing that, you know that the bottom coals are going to light when you go up top. It's a psig reshe that it's going to happen, but you have no interest in that lighting. You have no interest in that burning. And so because of that, you are patur, according to the Tanna Kamma, because you're doing kilkul. You're doing havara in a way that's not constructive. Usually havara is constructive because it's providing heat, it's cooking something, so it's a constructive type of havara. There you're chayav according to the Tanna Kamma. But when you do havara in a kilkul way, in a way that's to your detriment, where it's burning up the coals that you would otherwise would have wanted, there you're patur. Elazar Rebbe Tzadok holds like Rebbe Shimon, that by havara, by definition, is a kilkul, and therefore mikalkal is never patur by havara. And therefore, your chayav shtei chataot, and that is corroborated by Rabbi Yochanan's statement that we're speaking about a napach over here. We're speaking about a blacksmith, and that's why he has intent for extinguishing, but he doesn't have, even though he knows he's going to be mavir, he's not interested in the havara. So that's Rashi's view, that the reason you don't want to burn them up is because he really wants the coals. On the other hand, Tosfot on the Amud Bet and the Rabbeinu Gershom suggest that the reason that he does want the havara, and he doesn't want this stuff to burn up, but he wants it in a negative or destructive manner, which is that he wants them to burn up and consumed into ashes. He's not trying to make coals through this havara. He's not trying to create heat through this havara. He just wants the item to be totally consumed because they're worthless to him and made into ashes so that he can dispose of it easily. And that's the type of havara that is a havara of kilkul. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, or the alternate gersa is Amar Rabbi Yirmiya. Ad kan lo nitgalta taima shalachazu. Until Rabbi Yochanan told us that this Braita is speaking about a napach, the machloket in the Braita was not understandable. And either Rabbi Yochanan saying about himself, or Rabbi Yirmiya saying about Rabbi Yochanan, that this explanation gave the clarity of the Braita by explaining like we just did above. Ami Barabin, Rabbi Chananya Barabin, or the other Gersa is Abayi Barabin, Rabbi Chananya Barabin, Damrei Tervayu, Kagon, Shnitkaven, the Chabot, Ulahavir. He intends to both extinguish and to cause it lighting. The Tanna Kamma Sabar Laki Rabbi Yossi, Damar Havara Lav Yatzat. He holds like Rabbi Yossi that the pasuk that's found in the beginning of Parshat Vayakel, that is one of the few pasukim in the Torah that gives definition to what melachot are asurot on Shabbat. In general, the melachot that are asurot on Shabbat, we learn from Melechet HaMishkan. And that's just because the word melacha is used, or the juxtaposition of the parshiot, but we never have any definition of the melachot that are explicitly noted in the Torah. Beginning at Parshat Vayakel, it says, Lo tuvaru esh, b'chol moshe batechem b'yom ha-shabbat. You may not kindle fire in any of your dwellings on Shabbat. The question amongst the Tanaim is, why did the Torah delineate Havara separately? It's machloket. Rabbi Yossi believes that the reason that the Torah delineated Havara separately is to tell you that it doesn't have the same punishment as any other malacha. All other malachot, your chayav karet, if you do it b'mezid, edim and atra'ah, your chayav skila, the shogeg, your chayav achatat. Havara is the exception, and that's why the Torah delineated to tell you it's just a lav. Lo tvaru eish, b'chol moshe batechem, you're just going to get malkot for it. Rabbi Yossi's belief is that lehav yatzat, you're not going to get a korban chatat for that. So the Tana Kama holds like Rabbi Yossi that it's a lav yatzat, and that's why the havara, even though you intended for kibui and intended for havara, havara b'shogeg doesn't land you with a chatat. Kibui b'shogeg lands you with a chatat. That's why he has one chatat. Rabbi Lezer b'Rabbi Tzadok does not subscribe to Rabbi Yossi's position, but rather to Rabbi Noton. Rabbi Lezer is somewhat like a Rabbi Noton, the havara lechalek yatzat. The reason that Havara was delineated separate is to tell you that you're going to be chayav a korban for every single malacha that you do of the 39 malachot. A person was b'shogeg, did all 39 malachot. Each malacha results in a korban chatat. It's not like you bring one chatat to cover all 39 violations. Each malacha is a separate violation. That's the question the Gemara asked at the beginning of the Masechta. How do you only have 36 kreitot? Each one of the malachot on Shabbat is a separate karet. That's why the Gemara asked it, because over here, pechalek yatzat. If you say pechalek yatzat, then according to Rabbi Natan, you're going to be chayav achatat for Havara, and you're going to be chayav achatat for Kibui. And that's what Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Tzadok subscribes to. Rabbi Amar, Rabbi explains the difference in their opinion in the following manner. La'atim iti benayu. Similar to his position on the previous Amud, order matters. So here you can see Rashi explains it. He intended to light or to bellow the coals on the bottom first, and then to extinguish the coals that were on top. And instead, it all happened in one stoking or one scooping. Everything happened at once. The Tana Kama says order matters, and you didn't get the order that you wanted. So now, as Rashi points out, well, if order matters and you didn't get the order, you shouldn't be chayav anything over here. Why does the Tana Kama say you're chayav one chatat? That is because, as Rashi notes over here, nehi dume lo akdame, achure no emi acher. The same logic we saw before, when he does them simultaneously. Yes, he didn't do one before the other, but he also didn't do one after the other. So, you didn't necessarily fail completely, you failed somewhat, and therefore, you have to bring at least one korban chatat. We can't make you patur legamre, because you didn't get one before the other, but you also didn't get one after the other. So that leaves you in a middle ground. The way that the Mikubet explains it, which I think is a little easier to understand, is that your hakpada was only on one of the two items. Your hakpada was either that you wanted the light first, or you wanted the extinguishment to be second. The other item you were indifferent to was only because you wanted the kiboy to be second that the lucka was first, or only because you wanted the lucka first that the kiboy second. Then when you do them simultaneously, you did fail at the one that you were makpid on, but the other one, you weren't makpid on, you accomplished, and there's no problem. That's why you're chayav achatat. And you can see that in note yud of the Shita Mekubetz, where it says, v'yesh lamar, l'kach mi'achayav achat l'tanakama, desvile, v'chad me'shnei darav, labdavka, enu makdim ha'mukdam, o enu ma'acher ha'mukhar. Since one of the two items was labdavka, he wanted one of them in a particular order, but the other one just fell in place, given what the order was, what he wanted for the first one. Ilkach, therefore, you're going to be chayav for the one that you weren't makpid on. So if you intended to light first, and by definition, if you wanted to light first, then the kiboy had to happen second, but you didn't care about the kiboy when it happened. You just wanted to make sure that you lit first, but you do them simultaneously. You failed at lighting first, but as far as kiboy is concerned, you didn't care which way it was, and therefore you did accomplish that. And that's why the Tana Kama says you're chayav one chatat. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Tzadok says we don't care about order. Order doesn't matter in these situations, and therefore you're going to be chayav, irrespective of the fact that you did it simultaneously and there was no order. That doesn't matter, and you're chayav a chatat for each one of them. This is premised on Rava's position before, having the Braita that says, v'nishima achat, you are chayav. The question is, how many chatot are you chayav? And then according to Rava's explanation now, that's telling you that according to the Tanakhama, you're chayav one chatat. According to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok, you're going to be chayav two chatot in that case of Neshima Achat that's brought by the Brayta on the previous Samud. And so again, over here, they're going to be arguing about when you do it in one breath, you're chayav. How many chatot are you chayav? Are you chayav for one of them? Or are you chayav for both of them? Now we have another suggestion. Shavashi Amar, Gon Shnitkavin the Chabot, Behuvaru Me'elehen. You intended to extinguish the ones on top, and the ones on the bottom lit themselves up by themselves. You weren't doing anything to do it, but they lit themselves up. The Tanakama Savalaki Rabbi Shimon. Tanakama holds like Rabbi Shimon Damar, Damar Shinu Mitkavain, Patur. When it's an unintended action that you take, you're Patur. Blessed Rabbi Tzadok Savalaki Rabbi Yehuda. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda Damar, Damar Shinu Mitkavain, Chayav. In the case that it's Damar Shinu Mitkavain, then you are Chayav. The problem with this explanation is, isn't this a psik reshe? Isn't this something that's going to happen automatically? When you go to extinguish the top coals, by definition, you're going to expose the bottom coals. By exposing the bottom coals, that's going to cause habara. So Rashi says, he had no idea that the lower ones were going to light up. So Rashi tries to create a scenario where it's not a psik reshe, and that's why it's a darashenu mitkavein. Tosafot acknowledges that this has got to be a psik reshe, because there's a machloket here with regards to Dabar Sheinu Mitkavein. When we say, Rabbi Shimon says mutar, Rabbi Yehuda says asur. When Rabbi Yehuda says asur, does that mean asur midoraita? Does that mean asur midorabanan? Tosafot quotes the Reed, who in other places in Shas says that when Rabbi Yehuda says Dabar Sheinu Mitkavein is asur, it's only asur midorabanan. Yet over here, we're saying Dabar Sheinu Mitkavein is asur midoraita, because here we're forcing you to bring a chatat for that violation. So it shows you that it's even de'oraita. So Tosfot says, how could Rabbi Yehuda say that it's de'oraita when he thinks, according to the Reed, it's only midrabanan that you're chayav in Damar Sheinu Mitkavein? So Tosfot says, no problem, psik reshe. It's a psik reshe over here. Well, it's a psik reshe, then why does Rabbi Shimon say you are patur? Answer to that, Tosfot says, is because it's really not a case of Damar Sheinu Mitkavein. Yesh lomar, de'hochi avitayme de'melocha shein tzricha legufa. It's really a case of melocha she'en tzricha legufa, and that is the reason that you were patur here. So Tosfot acknowledges that this has to be a psik reshe. He just says that it's a psik reshe that revolves around a melocha she'en tzricha legufa, because the havara that you're doing in the coals that are down below, you have no interest in that havara, and maybe even have a negative interest in that havara, because either you'd rather just keep the coals, or you'd rather they just turn into dust. You don't really need to burn them. You don't need a fire to burn with them. And therefore, it's considered to be a melacha she'en tzricha legufa. Tosfot does not say this over here, but Tosfot in the Gemara in Shabbat does say that a psik reshe delo nechale is a melacha she'en tzricha legufa. A psik reshe where you don't want the outcome or you don't want the other item, you're not interested in it, or it's actually negative for you, by definition, it's a melacha she'en tzricha legufa. He does not exactly say that over here. Here he says it's a psik reshe, and then even though it's a psik reshe, it's melacha she'en tzricha legufa because he doesn't want it, and therefore it's patur. He doesn't make the exact connection, but the Shita Mikubetzet amends one of the lines in Tosafot basically to say the same thing that he says in the Gemara in Shabbat, which is, according to him, psik reshe delo nechale is a melacha she'en tzricha legufa. Because psik reshe makes it that the action that he took, for instance, extinguishing of the upper coals, which then automatically leads to the lighting of the lower coals or the havara of the lower coals, that is assigned to you because of the automatic nature or the inevitable fact that that's going to happen. But then in the case of the lo nechale, you're not interested in the havara of those coals or you don't want them. It's actually negative for you. In that case, then it becomes a melacha she'en tzricha legufa. Because even though it's assigned to you and it's a melacha that you're doing because of the inevitable chain reaction that's going to happen here, nevertheless, it's still something that you're not interested in. And if you're not interested in it, that makes it a melacha she'en tzricha legufa. And that's how Tosafot defines psik reshe delo nechale as being a melacha she'en tzricha legufa. Although the quotes here, the Oruch, who has an opinion throughout Shas, that psik reshe delo nechale is mutar, that it's totally fine, and it has the same din as davar she'enu mitkavein. And here Tosafot argues on that position in many places in Shas to say that it still is a sur midrabanan, and it's a melacha she'en tzricha legufa. But of course, if it's only a din derabonon, then you're not going to bring a chatat over here, and that's the shita That's following Rabbi Shimon over here, that Darush Sheni Mitkaven is Potur. Tarabanan, Hachuteg Gechalim B'Shabbat Lechit Chameim Bahem. Someone who stokes the fire and the coals to warm himself up. V'huvuru Me'lehem. And then they ended up catching fire. So there you have no interest in the fire. You've taken the coals out because you want to get the hot coals to warm yourself up. So when you scoop out the hot coals to get you the warmth, you end up now exposing other coals that now light. So there, Tani Chad or Chayav, Tani Idach Patur. One says you're Chayav, one says you're Patur. V'ad Tanya Chayav. The one that says you're Chayav, because Zavra Melacha Shein Tzmicha de Gufa, Chayav Aleha. That when you do a Melacha Shein Tzmicha de Gufa, you are Chayav for it. That's Shita Rabbi Yehuda. V'ad Tanya Patur. The one that says you patur, because Zavra Melacha Shein Tzmicha de Gufa, Patur Aleha. That's Shita Rabbi Shimon. And as Rashi says over here, why it's called Malacha Shein Tzmicha de Gufa here and not Darush Sheni Mitkaven is because Mikomakom Yodea Yashit Baharu. Rashi differentiates in the previous case where he didn't know they were going to be Havara. Over here he knows for sure there's going to be Havara. Famat Kenasan. He did it knowing that's going to happen, but that Havara is not something that he is interested in. So Rashi says that he did it with the intent of them being Havara, but he's not interested in the Havara. He's only interested in the heat that is produced, not in the burning itself, and therefore it's a malacha she'ein tzricha legufa. Although the Rabbeinu Gershom uses the definition that the Balei Tosafot use in the Gemara in Shabbat, which is that when you have a malacha in Shabbat, if you do it with an intent for a different outcome than that way was used in the Mishkan, that that's considered to be a malacha she'ein tzricha legufa, and that's what you have over here. Here you're burning for heat, you're not burning for cooking, which was the purpose that it was used for the Havara in the Mishkan. And therefore, it's considered to be a malacha shein tzricha de gufa. With that, we end the fourth perek. Hadron alach, safek achal chelev. Right now, we're going to begin the fifth perek with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, achal dam shechita b'beima b'chayavov. Someone who consumes dam that was came from the shechita of an animal or birds, ben tmeim ben torim, whether they're non-kosher or kosher animals, dam nechira, dam ikur, Dama kaza sheha neshama yotzebo. All these items chayavin alav. When you say chayavin alav, min chiyuv karet. Yishish min beit yisrael min agar agar betucham esher uchal kol dam. Natati nefanai benefesh haochelet et adam vichrati oto mikerev ama. So there is a punishment of karet for someone who consumes dam. Now the definition of dam is based on what the Mishnah says over here, that it is dam sheneshama yotzaba. It has to be dam by which the life force of the animal is taken away by that dam. So the Tosafot points out that even though that qualifier is only written next to dam hakaza, it still has application to all the other items that are mentioned in the Mishnah, and that is the definition of the dam that you're going to be chayav karet for, because that's the way that the Torah defines it in Vayikra Yudzayin, because it says, Ki nefesh habasar b'dam hi. V'ani netativ lechem lezbech v'chaper nafshutikem k'adam hu b'nefesh yechaper. So there's the association with the dam and the nefesh. So the karet comes for dam ha-nefesh, or dam of the life force of the animal. And the way isn't that the Mishnah only put it by dam ha-kaza and not by the other item is, because generally when you're bloodletting, dam ha-kaza is something that doesn't result in death. And therefore it has to say that it's dam hakaza that's done to the point that it causes the death of the animal. And it's true of that, but it's also true of all the other items here that they have to be dam shenefesh yotzaba. So dam shechita is pretty straightforward because the whole point of shechita is to kill the animal, take away its life force. And that is dam hashenefesh yotzaba. Dam nechira, we saw many times in the Gemara in Chulin that the word nechira has different definitions, depending on Rashi and Tosafot throughout the Masechta. Either it means nechira, means to cut all the way from the nose down to the chest, or it means to cut open the chest, or in other places, the Balei Tosafot say it's any type of severing of the simanim that's not done derech shechita, or in other cases, it's just a mechanism of death that is not called shechita. And any one of those items, if it is something that takes away the life force of the animal, then that's considered to be a dam that you're chayav karet for. Dam ha'ikur is, again here, a machloket Rashi and Tosafot in the Gemara in Chulin, Whether ikur means ikur simanim, that's the way Rashi defines it in all those places, that it's the ikur simanim, ripping out the simanim. Rashi's definition over there is you have a knife that has a nick in it and it rips the simanim out. Tosafot believes that ikur simanim is not something that makes the animal into a treifa. Rather, it's just a halacha l'moshe misinai makes it that the animal is not considered to be kasher. And therefore he believes that it's not a treifa. Tosafot over here brings an explanation that it means that you may hakir the simanim, you ripped out the simanim. But as Tosafot points out, that in and of itself does not kill the animal. And therefore it has to be, like he says in the Gemara in Kulin, that it's shchita ayidei ikur. That you pulled the simanim out and did shchita on the animal once the simanim were already moved out of location. But if you do ikur, that causes neshama sheyotzapa, that's also blood that you're going to be chayav kareid for. Dam hakaza is bloodletting. The Gemara will tell us that when you first let the blood out, the blood just drips out. Then after a certain point of time, the blood starts to spurt out. And then again, it slows down and starts to drip out. The time that it's spurting out, that is the dam hakazasha neshama yotzaba, and that's the dam that you're going to be chayav kareid for. On the other hand, dam hatchol, the dam halev, blood that is found in the spleen, blood that is found in the heart, that is blood which is considered to be dam evarim, the blood of the limbs. That blood is not considered to be dam that you're chayav kareid for. Which the Shita Megubetz in Rav Dal, it says, "Afishyesh v'em rov dam v'nefesh talui bo filachi ein chavin alav the dam hayvarim hu." It's not considered to be dam shenefesh yotzaba, even though the tchol, the spleen, and the lave are life force limbs, and so that's why the Mishnah brings them as an example. But it'd be true of all dam hayvarim. The blood that's found in them is not considered to be life force blood, according to most Rishonim. This is only the blood that is absorbed into the limb itself that we're speaking about. We're not speaking about the blood that is flowing through the heart or flowing through the spleen that is there sitting in them. That blood might be dam hanefesh. And according to most of the Rishonim, it's only the blood of the Ivarim once it separates away from the Ivarim that has a din of dam Ivarim that we're speaking about here. But that which is absorbed into them is mutar, with the exception of the Rambam, who thinks that even the blood that's absorbed into the Ivarim is problematic. Those words is midayek from the Mishnah here, that dam hakaved is not considered to be dam for these purposes, because it's not mentioned in the Mishnah amongst the dam of the Evarim. And therefore he says that dam hakaved is hutra min haTorah, because the kaved itself is kulo dam, that's what the Gemara views the liver as being made up or comprised of blood. And therefore he says that the iser of dam with regards to the kaved is only a din derabanan, not a din doraita. Although, when you go to the Rambam, when he brings the halacha down, he brings down all three of these. He brings dama kaveh, dama tachol, dama lev all together. So he clearly believes that dama tachol and dama lev are just examples, and dama kaveh falls into that category as well. Though there are those that want to say that he actually had dama kaveh as part of the girsa in our Mishnah. Dama beitzim, Rashi brings two explanations over here. Either the blood that's found in the testicles of the animals, or dama beitzim is literally in the birds' eggs that have been incubated when they start to transform into a chick. In that transformation, you start to get blood streaks inside of the egg. That's the blood that we're speaking about. Tosafot heavily favors that explanation because it says we're going to bring a braita in the Gemara that says that the reason dam beitzim are not included here is because they're not a min basar. Well, if it is a testicle of the animal, then it is a min basar. That's why he favors heavily saying that it means eggs over here. Although, again, the Rabbeinu Gershom differentiates between the beitzim of the Braita and the beitzim of our Mishnah. Dam chagavim v'dam hatamzit ein chayvin alav. The blood of the kosher locust, as well as dam dagim, we're going to see in the Gemara, are considered to be dam that is not restricted at all, and you can eat it. Dam atamzit, which is the blood that just drips out, that doesn't have the life force in it. Those ain't chayavin alav. All those, you're not chayav karet for consuming them. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev b'dam atamzit, we've seen this before. We know that Rabbi Yehuda has a riboy from Kol Dam to teach him that even dam atamzit has a chayav karet associated with it. Mar brings a braita, Tan Rabbanan, The pasuk says in Parshat Tzav, "B'chol dam lo tochlu b'chol moshvoteichem la'of ulevahema." Shomei ani afilu dam mechal cheshtayim. You would think that the dam mentioned here includes human blood. Dam beitzim, the blood, let's assume, of eggs. Dam chagavim, dam dagim, locust, fish. Hakol bichlal. You would have thought all of that would be included in this restriction. Dam alomar, the pasuk ends, la'of velabehema. Only for fowl and animals. Ma of ubeima miyuchadim. What is unique character of open beima? Sheish behem tuma kala v'tuma chamura. They have lighter forms of tuma and they have more extreme forms of tuma. We're going to see here that tuma kala means tumat uchlim that's associated with them, and tuma chamura is tuma makes a person tamei, meaning it's an avatuma. But not only does it make a person tamei, it makes a person tamei and their clothing tamei when the person engages with these items. V'yesh ben isur v'heter. They also have isur and heter associated with them. The easiest way to explain this is that before shchita, they are asurim. After shchita, they are mutarim. V'hein min basar. They are a flesh. Av kol sh'yesh ben. So do anything that has all those character traits will be chayav for dam ha-nefesh and have a chiyuv karet. The Balei HaTosafot point out that some of these definitions make it very difficult to understand how we include in the Mishnah behema tmeya and of tamei, because they don't have this aspect of isur v'heter. Tosafot goes on to explain that either you could say that it means that b'minam, in their category, there is such a concept, so by the kosher animals exist, therefore, the non-kosher animals are also affected by it. Or you could say that with regards to Isur V'heter, that the animal beforehand had a restriction of Eber Minachai, even though it's a non-kosher animal, and post the Shechita, or post the killing of the animal, it does not have a Isur of Eber Minachai. If you're not Jewish and you can eat the animal, then there would be a difference, so you do have that aspect of Isur V'heter. And even though the non-kosher birds do not have this Tuma, Chamura, make the clothing tamei, there's only an Ot Tahor, that when it's swallowed, the Beit Ot Tahor, that is in the Veila, if it's swallowed, that when it's in the Beit HaBlila, it's been tamei the Adam, the tamei Begadim. That's not true by the Ot Tamei. There it goes what it says, you just have to say that in the bird category, we have such a concept, even though it may not apply particularly to non-kosher birds. So from this definition, we're going to say, Av kosher yesh ben tuma kala, things that have tumat uchlim associated with them, that doesn't have application by human beings. They only have tuma chamura. They don't have tuma kala. I'll exclude the dam of shvatzim, which doesn't have tuma chamura, even though, again, shvatzim, or at least the eight shvatzim, can reach a level of ava tuma and be mitamei adam. What they can't be is mitamei adam, letamei bigadim, and that's why they're excluded. Otzid dam beitzim, sheinu min basar. Beitzim are excluded because they're not flesh. So again, Tosafot says his favors heavily saying that we're speaking about eggs and not about testicles. But Tosafot and Kulin conclude from this that either dam beitzim is only an Isur midrabanan and not an Isur d'oraita, or it depends where the dam is found in the beitzah. If it's found on the kesher, which is going to eventually form into the chick, then that's dama basar, because that's min basar, and therefore it'd be asur midoraita. Whereas if the dam's found anywhere else in the egg, then it's only in din de rabbonon and not a din doraita. Dam chagim, dam chagavim, shekulo heter. And dam chagim and dam chagavim are excluded because they are completely mutar. Shekulo heter, because it doesn't require shkita at all. And therefore, just like it doesn't require shkita, it's heter without any processing. So too, their dam is mutar. Rabbeinu Baruch in the Balei HaTosafot points out here and on the previous Amud that you don't need all of these different exclusions from Tuma, Chamura, and Kala, or from the Isur V'Heter could be excluded all the items that are listed here. Nevertheless, they didn't do that because it just went to the ease of things that makes it clear or easy to understand why these items are excluded. And now the Baruch explains, La'of v'la be'ema. Ima of shein ba kilayim. Had I only had the word of and not behema, I would have thought, just like of doesn't have kilayim associated with it, so too only animals that don't have kilayim associated with it they would be subject to the din of Isur Achilat Dam, Bikaret, but those that have Kilayim would not be subject to that. As the Gemara is going to explain here, it means that they have Kilayim from something that's produced from them. Birds' feathers from down is not a problem of Kilayim, whereas animals that have wool on them have an issue of Kilayim, versus animals that only have hair on them that don't have an issue of Kilayim. So only maybe animals with hair instead of wool would be chayav. That's if you only had the word oath. So that's why tamalemar ulubehima, to tell you that behima means any animal. Ima behima, shein behima labanim. So you would have thought that had it just written behima, that's because behima doesn't have the restriction of ema labanim, not to take the mother along with the children. Af oaf, so therefore by ofot, only those shein behima labanim, that don't have that restriction of ema labanim, that they would be subject to this din, meaning that kosher birds would not have this din, non-kosher birds would have the din, or even within kosher birds, things that are zumanim, where there's no din of ema banim, they would be subject to this din. Tamad lomar, the oath of the behema. That's why I brought both of them. Why don't we explain here, behema, the way that the pasuk starts is, v'chol dam lo tochlo. Let's say kol dam is a klal, oath of behema is a prat, klalu prat. You have a generic statement and then a particular statement, ein b'chalal ala mashim v'prat. That means that the prat is defining the kalal, and therefore ofu be'ema in midach v'in alo. Then you would have thought ofu be'ema are the only things where dam matters, but other things would not be subject to the restriction of consumption of dam that results in karet. The Gemara says, the next pasuk continues, it says, kol nefesh, asher tochal kol dam, nechatai nefshayi me'amea. So that pasuk begins, v'chol nefesh asher tochal kol dam. So chazar v'klal, klal uprat uchlal, iatadan alukein aprat. So that's exactly what the Braita is doing, which is making it to a klal uprat uchlal, and saying that the pratim, ofen behema, have these character traits. Anything that has character traits similar to the ofen behema will be subject to the din, or the restriction of dam. Anything that does not, which is what we just listed in the Braita, those that do not, will not be included in this restriction. Where it says, V'alo dami klal abatro, the klal akamo. Wait a minute, the klal in the beginning is not similar to the klal in the end, because klal akamo lav. The first klal is a lotase, which is ki kol dam lo tochlu, whereas the klal abatro is a chiyuv karet, where it says, kol nefesh asher tochal kol dam, v'nichrata nefshei me'amea. So the kol dam at the beginning is a isur lav, the kol dam in the end is a isur karet. Where it says, Hatana Debe Rabbi Shmal. This is altered by Tan Debe Shmal, that Klali Prati Darshinin Min Hadein Gavna, that they are Doresh, Klali Pratu Klal, Fa'afa Gav, Klo Dami Klal Abacho, the Klal Kama, even though the latter Klal and the earlier Klal do not have the same character to them, nevertheless, they're still Doresh and Klali Pratu Klal in that manner. Okay, we're going to stop here, 14 lines down on the top of Chaf Aleph, Amud Aleph.